You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2.
Who wants to have some fun?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Right now, there are 600 Titleists that I got from the driving range in the trunk of my car.
Can we get on with it?
My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
These reports you handed in, it's almost as if you have no business training at all.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan on a Friday afternoon in Toronto.
The one thing that I saw a couple weeks ago, which I hope, and I don't think when Jamie and myself played, this could possibly happen, but Major League Baseball players had their nicknames on the back of their jerseys.
They had a nickname weekend. They've done that the past couple of years.
That'd be awesome.
But, like, well, when Caber, I played... Well,
Caber, what if Caber made the...
like a guy skating around with ass face on his jersey.
Like if Caber made the All-Star team that year...
That's the problem that I have
with it. It was just regular season games. You had your nicknames on the... Like, that's what happened.
Yeah, they do a full weekend. They call it the Players' Weekend or whatever. And
like, the nicknames we had for our teammates...
Well, Darius Kasparaitis, we just called him Ugly. So, yeah. Like, I remember Travis Green calling for a pass rink-wide, and he was screaming, Ugger! Ugger! So what do you have, Ugger
ugly
or just Ugly
face? Like, just ridiculous nicknames.
Well, in typical fashion... It wasn't actually the nicknames. You know what I mean? Like, it was
all... Yeah, because there was...
Well, there was a long list of things you couldn't use.
Big Sexy wasn't on there, right? Wasn't Bartolo Colon?
Yeah, I don't know if they allowed him to use...
They did.
Yeah, no sexual connotations.
Right.
Obviously nothing racial or anything
well,
like that.
I mean,
which you can understand. But, you know, if that's your nickname, then that's your nickname. You
right.
know, like, there. I hate to break it to people, but there are some insensitive nicknames out there that people
For
use.
Sure.
And yet... Obviously, they're not going to allow the players to follow through completely with that. So, a lot
Carson
of guys.
Tucker's was Pigeon. He would just have Pigeon on his.
That would be fine, you know, but then he'd have to explain it, and he may not want to do that. Whatever the explanation.
I don't know. Thomas Caverly just called him Pigeon, so he was Pigeon.
See, he would be in this G-rated world. It would just be Tux. That's probably what his would have been.
Yeah. Tuxie.
Yeah, Tuxie, you know. Because that's what a lot of the players did. They just put ER or Y on the end of their name. And they're like, just let's get it over with because you're not allowed to use
Like Matt Sundin's nickname was Weed. And people would think, oh, what is Weed? And it went from Swede to just Weed. And it was nothing about Weed or anything like that. It was just Weed. That's your nickname.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like they wouldn't put that on a jersey. Weed.
You see Elon Musk smoking weed
on Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan's podcast.
And that's now, what the focus is on. Like, it's legal in California.
Absolutely. But he's the CEO of a public company.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the problem is that he's been a little bit erratic lately anyway.
Yeah, so he's calling that the minor or whatever, like a child molester. Like, he's been like.
Over in Thailand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's
got
been
really
out of his mind.
Well, he got skewered there, deservedly so. He was over here in the States and he came up with some. Contraption that was never going to be usable or workable, and
he felt like it did,
but it felt like he just wanted to get his name into the
come in and be a hero
the news cycle. You know what I mean? Here comes Elon Musk and Tesla, and they're all going to help everyone out. And it's like, dude, just stand over there. You know, the U.S. military's on it. U.S. government, Thailand, Australia's involved. Everyone else is involved. We don't need you.
Yeah.
Speaking of presidents, Mark Shapiro's doing the rounds today. I'll give him credit. I think this is a smart move. I think he needs to be way more transparent with this market. I've been very hard on him, and I don't think he's done a good job of that for 3 years. He's the one that is running the operation, and he runs Ross Atkins out all the time. And I feel for Atkins because a lot of times you can tell he's between a rock and a hard place because if he says anything out of line, Shapiro's going to be like, what were you thinking?
Exactly.
I got you out there speaking on my behalf and on behalf of the team. And yet Shapiro, again, I think... This is always a dangerous territory for American executives that come up here.
Right.
And they keep close ties with American media. And Shapiro has done that a little bit. That's what really caused a big stir with people in town with J.P. Ricciardi. Wouldn't sit there and talk with the media here, but if ESPN calls him up, yeah, I'm happy to talk. And Shapiro's done that a little bit, including going on MLB Network Radio earlier this week, when it was my understanding Atkins is the guy who's speaking on behalf of the team.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, Shapiro is willing to do a radio interview, and I think people in Toronto were like, well, why don't you speak to the media here and vicariously through them to the fans, because the fans in Toronto is what your real priority should be.
Right.
So I'll give him credit. I think it's a smart move for getting out there. You know, I think he's out to set the record straight on the Vladimir Guerrero scenario.
Yeah.
But there's nothing he can say. You know, he's the reason Vladdy's not up, it's all about tenure.
Yeah.
It's all about starting the clock on his contract. He's got to lie, even though everyone knows it's a blatant lie. He knows it's a lie. It has nothing to do with developing the player. It's all about service time and right. getting that seventh year. And I believe for quite some time it's about Shapiro not trusting that this ownership will hand over a massive contract to Vladdy Guerrero if he is worthy of it.
Right.
So from that standpoint, I support Shapiro doing this. Be patient. Take your time with Vladdy. As a fan, I'd love to see him play, but I get the business side of things.
Well, and he would come up and be a bright spot in a disaster anyway.
And a losing season. From a business standpoint, even if you're the biggest fan in the world of him and you want to see him, I get it. I understand it. You have to understand why the Jays aren't bringing him up and why he's not going to start with the team next year. It's all about service time.
From the other side, it's bad for business. It's like, don't you want to show the new shiny toy?
Right.
And we've talked about that. Don't you want the kid to gain that little bit of experience, understand the big leagues? I know his dad played, but get some at-bats. I don't know. I don't think it's the... Everyone's like, why bring him up here? It's a disaster. What the hell? What's the worst that can happen?
No, I don't think that's the issue at all. I think... It's all about service time. It's about keeping him on the team for as long as possible, because once he becomes a free agent, he can walk. You know, that's what it is. Why waste his service time on this team?
Yeah, blow a year of that.
And to your point, like, Shapiro has been labeled, I think accurately in many ways, as a guy who's more concerned with ticket sales and ratings, where here's a guy who would get him some tickets sold and would get some ratings and would get some buzz, and he's not bringing him up. So from that standpoint, I think it actually helps Shapiro try to kill the narrative that he's more concerned about making money from ownership. Right. And really what his concern is, what is in the best interest of the ball club. But topics that I'm sure the media is going to pose to him down at the Rogers Center that you have to ask, but he's not going to answer. His relationship with ownership, he's going to say it's great, everything's rosy, you know it, even if it's not. And there's a lot of rumors out there that there are issues between the two parties. He's not going to say that on the record. The stories about him going to the Mets or whatever, he's not going to come out and be like, yeah, I got to be honest, if they called me, I'd love to go. He's going to lie about that, or he's going to dance around it.
Yeah, he has to.
But topics I really want to hear him actually talk about, and I hope will get answered, what's up with Gibbons and the managerial pursuit moving forward? How many of these kids that we're seeing right now have a legitimate shot at starting the season with the team next year? What's up with the stadium upgrades? Is it going to happen? When's it going to happen? What's the payroll plan for the next 2 or 3 years? That's what I want to hear from him. I don't care about the Donaldson stuff. Did they offer him anything? It's done. Donaldson's gone now.
Gone, move on.
Yeah, I don't care about...
Manager situation is interesting. You look at teams like Yankees, Red Sox. They brought in basically younger, former ex-players. I don't know where Cora was in Boston. He wasn't in the booth anywhere, was he?
No, he was down in Houston. Yeah, and he's a young guy, though, right? He's been out of the game for a short period of time. Like, Boone stepped right out of the booth, and now he's running the show in New York.
Now he's running the show, and obviously those are powerhouses of the league where a guy, it's like they can just... It's almost like they wanted a guy to go in there and be buddies with the guys and just direct traffic and not be that guy that's a pain in the ass and nobody wants to deal with. But can you really do that with a team in this position? I don't know if you can.
I'm not sure.
Gabe Kapler, he's in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The same situation.
Another example.
It seems like a trend where it's like they just want a guy to be like, hey, you know, you go and do this and give it your all or whatever, and I'm not going to be a pain in the
kind
ass.
Of a handler.
That's exactly what it is. And they're being paid appropriately based on that title now. Because I read something recently. Like, there was a time not long ago when Joe Torre was making $6, $7 million.
Right.
When... You know, Mike Socha, when Pinella was making big money in La Russa, and those guys were gods and they were kings, and the GM would never dare step foot in the clubhouse.
I don't think that's the situation anymore.
It's completely the opposite.
It's like, we're going to direct traffic. You manage what we want to do and just be kind of, not buddies, but don't.
And we'll pay $1 million a year. That's it. You're not making $6-7 million. This is what you're getting.
I don't think those guys we just mentioned are making $1 million a year. What's Boone making? And he's got to be making more than $1 million.
You got to think he is, because it's New York, and he was probably making that doing TV anyway.
For sure.
You know, they'd have to pay him more than what he was making doing Sunday Night Baseball and working for ESPN. But I'll bet you that'd be interesting. Let's see if we can find that, like the discrepancy between the highest paid manager in baseball and the lowest paid. Well, because the idea of any like manager or coach in 2018 making under $1 million in the pros
is ridiculous.
Seems ridiculous, but I'll bet you it's more like in the NHL. Is there a coach that makes under $1 million?
Are you kidding me? Go check out Carolina's payroll.
What do you think Rod Brindamore is making?
What do I think or what do I know?
Well, if you know and you want to reveal it, go ahead.
But no, just maybe throw a ballpark out there.
I think it's around $400,000 a year.
No, I think it would be higher if...
All right, do the math. Or not do the math, but ask somebody. Apparently they got Rod Brindamore, assistant GM and GM, all around $1 million, all of them combined. Think about that.
That's cutting costs.
That's not good.
That's not good. Like, you get what you pay for in a lot of ways. You know, baseball's different again because the manager doesn't have the same power. You know, he runs out the same nine guys. You know who's going to be your starting pitcher. You know, it's not a free-flowing sport where you're making adjustments on the fly.
I think it's a travesty that anybody who is at that level, National Hockey League, Major League Baseball, NFL, basketball, you know, anywhere, that doesn't make money relative to what the league is their revenues, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's true, let's just say...
Travesty's a bit strong, but...
$400,000, there are guys in the minors that are making that.
Players?
No, coaches.
How much do you think Sheldon Keefe would be making?
Probably in that neighborhood. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Now, apples to oranges comparing the Leafs and Carolina in terms of money and the revenue.
That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Yeah?
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. If you want an NHL team, and like you got to treat it like an NHL
team.
You
don't run it like Mike Babcock is what he is, and Quenville, whatever. But it's like, if you're not going to pay me $1 million, I'm not coaching in the NHL. Sorry.
Well, it makes you wonder where else they're cutting corners. You know, like, are these guys going to be flying on the plane from Major League? Like, is a prop flight showing up?
No, I think the league has to okay like things like that. But you're right. Like, it's not.
Don't you kind of want to see it?
Them rolling in a twin engine plane.
I kind
That's
of
not our
see it.
Plane. That one. Like
that would be outstanding.
It just has to be relative. And I know some teams are very budget conscious. Like, we live in Toronto where it's just a blank check.
And the discrepancy is larger in the NHL than any and than the other big four. Because the other big four, they generate more money overall.
Right.
And hockey's not, you know, it's not a conventional sport from a popularity standpoint.
What would a guy like Pop make?
Popovich?
Oof, yeah.
He's 10? Probably making 10.
Yeah.
I would think 10.
But who would be the lowest? Like
Nurse would be, I don't know. I mean, Nurse, the Raptors have money, and I think Nurse is making probably around $3 million, which is a huge chunk of change.
Right.
But Casey went to Detroit, I think he got six and a half or six, something like that.
Yeah.
But he deserves that. He's 7-year run, and he just won Coach of the Year. Nick Nurse has never had a head coaching job. So a lot of it also is, why am I just paying you to pay you? You got to prove
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Like, Rod Brindamore has to prove he can coach in the league.
And he's getting an opportunity to do that, but he, it still has to be respectful. I think that's where it bothers me. You can work on a budget. The Winnipeg Jets work on an internal budget, and their owners are one of the richest people in North America.
Yeah, the Thompson family is a top 20 richest family in the world, is my understanding.
Well, there you go. But they work on a budget. They're smart people, and that's what they've set forth. But I would be like, Paul Maurice isn't making chump change
there. No.
They're respectful to that situation and that position. And I just, I get it, the difference, Brandon Moore just slides left and he's the head coach now. I hope for his sake. I'm a big fan. I like him. He's a great guy. I hope he does a good job there. But I also believe that he should be compensated. And that's, you know,
well, listen,
I know in the relative terms, 400 is nothing to sneeze at, but it's, you know, you should be treated a lot better.
Well, and that's the truth. I mean, people are texting you and being like, I make 40, I make 50.
I get
it's
that.
Like, we're talking about sports compared to, you know, world here.
Right.
That's Surgeons why travesty is a bit of a stretch. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, it's if you've got the money and if you're generating the money and the peers are making a certain amount, that's why Babcock, I think, was applauded by most coaches,
sure,
because it's all about dragging everybody up.
Todd McClellan more money. Joel Quinville said, hold on a second here.
Claude Julien made more money.
I'm just as good a coach as him.
Yeah.
So, like, that type of stuff, you're right. Julian got paid. Like, I don't know what a guy like Travis Green would make in Vancouver. But I you know, first year coach.
I think around $1 million.
Yeah, I would, which would probably be the going rate. And it's nothing to sneeze at.
Mullen just sent this, courtesy of USA Today, MLB manager salaries. I don't know how recent it is, but Mike Socha making $6 million. Joe Maddon with the Cubs making $6 million. Bruce Bochy with the Giants making $6 million. Now, those are big clubs.
Right.
Cubs and Giants have won World Series recently. Francona's making $4 million with the Tribe. But way down at the bottom, you've got manager of the Cardinals, and that's a big, big job. Now,
he just started.
He just jumped on board, but he's making $700,000 prorated. Riegelman with the Reds, $700,000.
Well, they suck, so that.
I hear you, but like the Cardinals don't. They're on fire. This guy's been on. Now, he, again, came up from the minor league system and didn't have much leverage.
What's Boone making?
I don't see it here. This is top five, bottom five. So he's somewhere in the middle of the pack. He's making less than $4 million.
Yeah,
he's probably making a couple million. You know, and that's the Yankees, the market, the amount of attention, the amount of money.
Cora's making what?
It's the Leafs.
Cora?
He's at $800,000. Oh, there he is. According to USA Today, Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, doesn't get any bigger and better than that, making $800,000. $800,000. Yeah, so. Like that. But what that speaks to, it's not a shot at Cora, it's that baseball's figuring out these managers, they're not worth that kind of money.
Right.
You know, like football coaches are always going to make a fortune because they decide they have such an important role in how games play out.
And if you ever want to dive deep into coaches making a lot of money, get into college. Go into the college ranks and Google that stuff.
Right. But you realize what comes with their job. They have to recruit. They've got to keep, you know what I mean? They've got to grow these guys. They've got to keep their staff, which is massive,
yeah,
in the right spot.
What's Nick Saban making? Like, it's got
seven and a half.
Men.
Yeah. Well, we just saw it with Urban Meyer. Meyer's the highest paid public servant
right
in Ohio.
Now.
No, he's not for the next couple of weeks, but like Ohio State's a publicly funded school, and he's the highest paid publicly, you know, funded member of the state of Ohio at like $6.5 million.
That's where the money is, college. Because they rake it in.
Can you imagine getting a good gig there? It's like,
Never leave. I don't see why you'd ever leave. Exactly. Like, there, all these people are like, why doesn't...
Didn't Nick Saban already try to leave once? He went to the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, and
he
flamed out.
Screw up. Screw this.
Yeah. David Hackstall in Philly. Hackstall was in college, a college coach for many years. I think in North Dakota,
hockey's
right?
different than football. You're not making the same money.
I mean,
money.
The Rangers just hired a college coach.
You're right, but like, you talk about rich schools. I don't think you've ever played there. That North Dakota rink rivals NHL rinks.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had, apparently when I don't know the whole story, but Jacques Lemaire was telling me about, we played an exhibition game there one time. The floor is like marble. The seats are like ridiculous because they got a grant from some rich family and they had to put the money into the rink.
Well, that's
the rink
where
is ridiculous.
That's where they get a lot of the money. Is it from exactly?
Yeah.
It's boosters. It's donors.
Yeah,
you know,
donors.
These guys. It's such a racket because a lot of the big time moneymakers, the schools are constantly harping on them as well.
Right.
Hey, can you hook us up? Hey, can you do this, that, or the other? But you get some families that are so connected to a school and they've got hundreds of millions of dollars and they're like, okay, here's $50 million,
but
pump it into something and put my name on it.
You should see this thing. I think it's called the Ralph Engelstad Arena.
Yeah.
I think they had
the World Juniors there recently.
Yes, it is something else.
Yeah.
But it's very cool, and you're right. Like, it depends on situational. But, you know, when you get it, I guess it makes sense. Carolina doesn't pay a lot. They'd want to have a... internal.
You look at the Red Sox, apples to oranges, because hockey coaches play more of a role in the way everything's going to play out than baseball managers. But Alex Cora, $800,000.
Yeah.
$800,000 with the Boston Red Sox. So you have to be in that circus atmosphere. Now, they're a great team. Everything's worked out pretty well for them so far, but eventually the wheels are going to fall off, and he's going to take heat, and there's going to be columnists and radio guys barking at him constantly, and the guy's going to be like,
"Now
I'm getting paid $800,000 for this?
Maybe he's on a one-year deal or a two-year, and he proves himself, and he gets that scaled-up pay.
True enough.
Right?
You win, you prove yourself, and then something changes. David Sampson, former president of the Miami Marlins, he'll join us. He's a CBS baseball analyst as well. We'll continue with this conversation about the payrolls with managers and where baseball's going and What does he make of Shapiro deciding to speak with the media today? Because Shapiro has been getting it left, right, and center. Like, the head of the union came out and blasted him for his comments on MLB radio about Vladdy Guerrero. You've got John Heyman reporting that Donaldson and the Jays were talking contract. And so Shapiro finally said, you know what, forget it. I'm coming out. I'm going to try to get out in front of it, although he's not. But at least I'll give him some credit for speaking to the media here in Toronto and see what David Sampson has to say. Get his take on this.
Yep. It's like presidents just say, I'll do it when I want.
Every once in a while, I'll head out. Yeah, I think it's important when everyone knows you're the architect of all this.
Yeah.
You know?
You got to get in front of it.
Yeah, like you can have the GM, but you're the brains behind it, so what's going on here?
Every once in a while, we want to hear from the big guy, the highest guy up. I don't think that's too much to ask for anybody. So David Sampson will join us. Brian Baldinger, longtime NFL lineman and NFL Network analyst, on a dud of a game last night, but a pretty cool finish. And look ahead to the rest of week one and get to some hockey news and notes as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Don't forget, the first ever TSN 1050 Up Close and Unfiltered is coming to the Hockey Hall of Fame on September 25th. It's an exclusive event for TSN 1050 listeners and your chance to spend a night talking Toronto sports with every host here on 1050. And the tickets will go on sale September 12th at 10 a.m. You go to tsn1050.ca. Only 150 are available. So tsn1050.ca for tickets. Opening 10 a.m. on September 12th. So Landsberg in the Morning, which will no longer be Landsberg in the Morning as of Monday.
Oh, yeah?
Very spicy news potentially going down TSN Radio.
Is there a vicious rumor
That's
going around?
That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard. We have to pretend like we don't know what it is.
Still? Like, are we can't out it? Or what?
It's a friend of the show. It's a guy that everyone is going to be very, very happy with.
Now, are we...
guy that we're really big friends.
Oh, yeah, he's
very
awesome.
Big fans of and very good friends with.
Yeah, good person.
So we're looking forward to that on Monday, and you'll have to tune in to find out what's going on. No, Monday morning, starting at 6 a.m. right here on TSN 1050.
Am I going to be the...
Can we give a hint?
Yeah, go ahead. You can give a hint.
I don't know the hint, but without to give a hint... Or just listen on Monday.
Yeah, tune in on Monday. And
yeah, there's no like rhyming his name or something.
If you can come up with a good one, go ahead. But
yeah,
it's tough. It's a long name. Let's put it that way.
He should be living in O's area.
I believe he's originally from the O-Dogs' new postal code.
There you go.
Up in Woodbridge.
Telling you what, I love it up there. Love it.
Everything's all good?
We had to make a decision today.
Yeah, we do.
And there's some tough games, and I want to know where your head's at. Because I was looking today, I don't know.
There's eight guys with tracksuits on that are ready to come and collect cash from you.
They want our answer ASAP. I'm leaning Saints over the Bucks. That seems like the most obvious survivor pool pick. Like 80% of the pool, I think, will take Saints over Bucks. Jameis Winston suspended. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the quarterback. The Saints are really good. They're at home. Biggest spread, I believe, of the weekend.
But in a suicide pool, do you really want to go with the slam dunk, or don't you want to start sniffing around the outside?
But that's how you get silly, man. Like, it's all about just survival,
but the thing is,
you
can't use the Saints again.
I understand that. Then we'll use somebody else. There's 31 other teams we can use.
You're the captain. I mean...
I don't want that kind of responsibility. We're co-captains. It's like the Leafs. We don't have a captaincy. Doesn't that seem like a bigger story outside of Toronto, or am I missing something?
I don't think... I mean, people make such a big deal about it. I don't care less. I think I was in the minority when people were so mad, like, Dion, like, about Dion, he's not a captain, he's not... How do you know? You're not in the room. Like, you just... People are just idiots when it comes to it. Yeah, it's a great thing to be the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
That's one element I'm a little bit disappointed is are you afraid to hurt somebody's feelings? Like Austin Matthews is the face of the franchise. I don't care that you just brought in John Tavares. He was the captain of the New York Islanders, but what are you afraid you're going to hurt John? Like, just name the captain. It's like, here we go. He's the captain of the Leafs.
I think he wants it. I think Austin wants it. But
yeah, I don't know. It's just like, you want to wait and see? It's
Did they see something though? This is be my question. Did they see something that they wouldn't want to give it to him? Like off ice.
Not, I don't know.
That's the wrong wording. Because I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just saying Is there something that is making them apprehensive about it?
I don't know. Maybe it's the contract. I don't know.
Maybe it's just this market and as a young player, and they just want to take their time with it. That's the logical.
One of those weird things where I kind of see it as a big deal, but at the end of the day, it's not. Just go play hockey.
I agree.
And away you go.
Well, I think it's a big deal for the player. You know, it would be an incredible honor.
It's a big position, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You're the captain of an Original Six team. That would be very cool. I mean, it can be daunting, and there's more responsibility, but I would think anyone that would have that opportunity in front of them would be honored and would relish that opportunity.
Honored, so, for sure.
I'm sure Tavares would love it. I'm sure Matthews would love it. I'm sure Riley would love it. I'm sure there's a bunch of guys that would love to have the captaincy, but it's not going to change how the games are going to play out. You know, they're not going to win or lose on any given night because they had a captain or because they didn't.
And it's not changing their skill set.
No, they're all the same players.
It's just, to me, a lot of times, it's a figurehead.
It's a talking point, and until they announce the guy, then...
They'll move on to the next talk.
You move on to whether or not he's going to be suited or what he has to do with it, and now the pressure's on him. And I mean, look what just happened this week down in Chicago. They sent down two representatives of the Maple Leafs. Tavares is down there and Matthews is down there. Those are the two guys that people want to hear from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm also hoping to hear from guys like Riley and Marlowe and other players on the team, but I think if you ask most Leaf fans, any given night, who would you like to come out and speak on behalf of the team, I would think it's probably Austin Matthews or John Tavares. One of those two guys. And Tavares hasn't played a game yet.
Yeah.
But we know about his pedigree and his history and who he is and what he represents. So as of now, I mean, it's kind of a co-captaincy even without the C being on either jersey. It feels like it's Matthews and Tavares right now.
You're right. And
What's wrong with that?
But we all looked past. You didn't look. You brought it up. A guy like Morgan Riley, I think, is very well suited, too. I think he's kind of been quietly the captain for the last couple years.
Everything I've heard is he kind of orchestrates everything in that room, and everything goes through him.
He's a budding leader. So he probably is going to wear an A his whole career in Toronto, but he could be a captain without a doubt.
If you're concerned about a rift between Matthews and Tavares, if you gave it to one of them, the way to dance around that is to give it to Morgan Riley.
Yeah,
but I don't sense they're going to do that.
And I don't think John Tavares is petty like that. I'd be like, oh, I wanted the captains. Yeah.
All right, give the money back.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we'll take the money back. No, we're good. joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is a former president of the Miami Marlins making his debut here on Overdrive. Here's David Sampson. How you doing, David?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing really well, man. We're talking about the president up here in Toronto where Mark Shapiro's been doing the rounds. And as a president, how often do you feel obligated to go out there and speak to the media and vicariously through them to your own fans?
Pretty often. We'd use the media all the time to try to get our message out as best as we could, especially when there were things going on around the team. And it seems like with the Marlins, there was always stuff going on, both on and off the field. So I understand what Mark's doing right now. You know, there's a lot of issues going on with the Blue Jays, and he feels like he's got to try to get out in front of it. But it's a tough situation because you want to get out in front of it, but you're really towing the company line and you're not necessarily giving the fans what they want in terms of actual information. You're just giving them what you want them to know or what you want them to believe.
Well, what about just simply the truth? I mean, he came out today and he said there's no longer any gray area about where we are. And I think the fans knew this was coming. I think if you ask Shapiro, he knew this was coming. So it's like, I just don't get it. It's like everybody knew this was coming, so why just say there's no longer any gray area? We all knew this was coming, so why didn't you act differently heading into this situation?
It's a really hard thing when you run a team, and let's picture yourselves during the off season, and you feel as though that if everything breaks right, that your team has a chance, and you get seduced by the fact that you're not playing games every day, and you forget that during the season everything goes wrong, and that you get injuries, you get lack of performance. So it's very possible that during the offseason, they didn't really want to believe that the Yankees and Red Sox were so far above them and ahead of them that they had no chance of winning the division and very little chance of a wild card berth. They may have believed that, actually, and they tried to convince the fans of that. But deep down, you have to realize that seasons don't go the way you want them to go. And it's better to rebuild too early than too late. And I would know because we always rebuilt too late with the Marlins, and it cost us.
I think the one thing people have to take into consideration, and The guy who hosts the show before us, Scotty MacArthur, he brought up a good point, which is sometimes people need to understand that bosses in certain situations, they have bosses. And if they say you got to keep this guy because we got to put some butts in the seats, then you have to do it. That's part of the equation too, isn't it?
We call that OP, owner's prerogative. There are times throughout the year, like in any business. By the way, you guys have a boss too. If your boss comes and says, by the way, you have to talk about, you know, the Montreal Expos today, you got to talk about the Montreal Expos. Sometimes you have to bite your lip and just do it. Unless you are the owner of something, you have a boss. And sometimes the owner of a baseball team, they believe they know more just because they watch games or because so many people tell them they know stuff or they want to be around an owner of a team. But I certainly find that baseball people tend to know more than owners, and owners think they are baseball people, and that can sometimes lead to issues.
With David Sampson, former president of the Miami Marlins, Mark Shapiro, speaking with the media today, didn't come out outright and say that the payroll is going to go down, but he admitted to the obvious that they're going to leave opportunities available to kids to make the team, and if the kids come up, they don't get paid that much. So naturally, the payroll is going to go down. But this is where you get the complication of your fans, where you know what the reaction is going to be like. Okay, if the payroll is going down and you're telling us we're not going to be that good, obviously ticket prices go down too, right? But then he's got to go to his owner, and the owner's not going to want to do that. So how is Shapiro supposed to handle that? Because he's going to get it from both ends.
Yeah, you definitely get it from both ends, and not in a very good way. So when you go out and you say that you're going to be young, that is code word for cutting payroll. And it's possible, if not likely, that the Blue Jays as a team are not making money. Obviously, on the media side, they are, and that's certainly complicated by who their owner is and how money can be used both as a TV deal that goes just to the parent company or as revenue to the team. So it's unlikely that the Blue Jays lose money all in all, because taking into account everything. But there are shareholders to take care of who are not fans of the team. They're fans of stock prices and fans of Rogers as a company. So it's a complicated tightrope that Mark has to walk, so I feel for him in that way.
There have been some rumors out there about Shapiro maybe wanting out, maybe taking a gig in New York with the Mets. Take us inside baseball. How often are front offices gossiping about what's going on around the league?
Not more than every day. and mostly four times a day. Remember, there's 162 games in 183 days. There's a lot of time spent at the ballpark. There's a lot of weekends. There's a lot of the game times are so long that you've got a lot of time to think about things, gossip about things, especially with social media and everything else. It's just so different than when I first got in the game back in 2000. So I promise that if the Mets are interested in Mark, there'll be some talking at owners' meetings between the Wilpons and the basically the Blue Jays brass. And if Mark is offered a ton of money, he may ask Rogers to get out of his contract to the extent he has one. And it's likely that you really don't want to step in the way of one of your employees who wants to go somewhere else and be happy somewhere else. And so you try to be as accommodating as you can.
I always wonder, of the two sides, Shapiro and the Mets and the ownership, which of the two sides would want that information leaked? Is it Shapiro to build the interest, or is it the Mets to make it known? I just don't know how that, and there's been some reports that this is not even true, but which side would want that information leaked?
I think that every time there's a leak, you look at who benefits. So when a player leaks who's a free agent, when information comes out on a free agent that there are three teams interested in that player. Whether or not that's true, it doesn't matter, because owners read that. They go to their GM and they say, we can't lose this player. So many other teams want him. Let's offer him another year or another $3 million per year. So agents and players leak that all the time. If you're a president of baseball operations and you want to make more money and you're in a contract negotiation with your team, it is in your best interest to make it known that there are other teams out there who will hire me in a minute. So if you want to keep me, you're going to have to give me an extra year or an extra few million dollars. So there's certainly a benefit to Mark to having it out there that other teams would want him.
With David Sampson, former president of the Miami Marlins. Shapiro did radio earlier in the week and was asked about Vladdy Guerrero and why he's not been called up. And You knew what he was going to say. He said it's about development. It has nothing to do with business, even though we all know, everybody knows, including Shapiro, it is about business. It's about making sure that you hold off the clock from starting to tick on his tenure here in Toronto. And the Major League Baseball Players Association, not happy about it. They issued a statement. It sounds like they might file a grievance on why Vladdy's not up here. He's being compared to the likes of, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. and A-Rod and Trout at the age of 19. I mean, he's the number one prospect in baseball. He's hitting almost 400, and he's been doing it all year. But do you think the PA has a legitimate case on their hands? Or, in my opinion, I think you just got to get a better CBA. Like, this is business. The Jays are allowed to do it. And if the PA doesn't like it, why don't they try to renegotiate or try to find a way to collectively bargain for a better deal?
There's not one thing, and I hate to be a bad guest, there's not one thing I can add to what you said. It is 100% about business. You would not call him up. There was no reason to do it, to give him the extra days here in September. You can hide behind development and defense and maturation and all the things you need to be a big leaguer. It's a bunch of hokey hogwash, if I can say that in Canada on the radio.
Yes, it is, you're allowed to say that.
And all I can tell you is, I know this, you can't go out publicly and say, we're holding him back for business, for money. You just don't do that. So what you're forced to do is respond, and you respond with stuff that doesn't pass the smell test. No one believes you, the player, the agent, your fans, nobody, the media for sure doesn't, but you have no choice. So it's just a lie upon a lie upon a lie, and it's not very helpful to our game. I'd love to see Vladimir up. But if I were running the Blue Jays, there's not one chance that I would have called him up this year.
Thank you, David. We'll do it again down the road, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, sounds good. Take care.
There's David Sampson. I want to talk to Sampson. Joining us here on Overdrive, former president of the Miami Marlins. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's Maple Toyota's 13th birthday. Come celebrate September 8th and receive a prepaid Visa valued at up to $1,000 when you purchase any new vehicle.
Sampson.
Well, Sampson is a reference from Half-Baked. You guys seen Half-Baked?
Yes.
Remember the...
With Dave Chappelle. I'm trying to remember it.
The original weed dealer was Sampson.
Oh, is that what his name was?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I want to speak to Sampson, blah, blah, blah. Let's see if you can find... I don't even know if we can play that on
Mary
the radio.
Mary Swanson. That's the Dumb and Dumber reference.
Right. Swanson. Different than...
Sampsonite.
But, you know, the Players Association, I understand why they're rattled. They want Vladdy up. They want him in the bigs. He should be in the bigs.
Well,
everyone knows he should
be. They're trying to protect the player, too. That's their job.
But then bargain for a new deal.
Yeah.
You know, like this is, as much as you might hate it, the Jays are within their own rights to control their player and do what they want to do with the player. And it's all about contractual length and taking advantage of the CBA. That's what the Jays are doing. The Players Association doesn't like it, then change it.
Yeah.
Like, that was, with the NHL, I remember just ranting, hearing all these players complain about why they're not going to the Olympics. If it was so important to you, you should have collectively bargained for it.
Yeah.
And they came out and they said, well, we didn't think it would come, we thought naturally they'd let us go. Well, that's your problem.
Yeah. Well, that'll be on the ticker next
time. That's the next one. But guess what's going to come? The NHL will say, all right, we'll throw you that.
Yeah.
But now you got to give us something.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I don't think this rule is necessarily going to change in baseball, because guess who's probably going to have to give back? The vets, not the kids.
Yeah.
And the vets will be like, well, screw them. I don't care about the kids.
I was the same.
I'm not giving you money back so this guy can come up in September.
Yeah. You know? That's true, though. And why should they?
Exactly. If you've been in the league 10 years, what do you care about Vladdy Guerrero Jr.? I'm not changing the deal that made me a multimillionaire so this guy can come up.
The kids get it every time. And it should be that way.
Unions are tough, man. Like this whole Le'Veon Bell stuff and with the Steelers and his own teammates carving him up. And one of the teammates that's been carving him up is the player union rep. He has the union rep.
And yeah, but he's allowed to. I mean, they just want to win. That's
I hear you, but, you know, this is why that union always gets trampled over. That's why they don't have guaranteed contracts and why...
Yeah.
There's never a holdout. The league always just kind of wields their power because they all turn on each other.
Well, ultimately, it's to each his own. That's how it...
But it's not supposed to be when you're in a union.
I know.
Technically.
But that's what went wrong with the cap, no cap. Everyone's yelling, no cap, no cap. And you're like, hold on a second here. If we do take a cap, let's try and maximize it. No, you're an idiot. Well, we ended up taking a cap and losing a season.
Right.
that you never got back in your career, but you're making sure that you're talking about taking care of a kid, you're taking care of a 12-year-old who hasn't played in the NHL yet. I mean, we ended up, you make money and you can't complain about that, but I lost a year and a half of my career actually playing or not playing, depending on how much I would play, that I never got back in my career.
Yeah. Now, the league has blood on their hands, too. They locked you guys out.
And the league has grown, and you know, everyone's doing well, but ultimately, during that time, it was very frustrating.
Mm-hmm. The NFL officially back. It was a bit of a dud of a game last night. It was not aesthetically beautiful football, but it was a game. The Eagles are now 1-0. The Falcons not looking so good. I've been a bit surprised by who's been the whipping boy over the past 24 hours. Tell you about that to kick off the 6 p.m. hour. Brian Baldinger will join us to look ahead to the rest of the games in Week 1. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Brian Baldinger in about 15 minutes. Might bring back that Believe It or Not game at 6:30, looking ahead.
Should.
Tiger was even par, I believe, today. So he had a great day yesterday, not such a great day today, but he's in contention at the BMW.
They always say it's tough to follow up a round like that. Usually hovers around even par, but it wasn't 74.
I don't think he's going to win the tournament personally, but so. I hope he's in contention. I mean, that'll be a busy Sunday if you got Tiger on the charge and you got NFL games going. And early in the season, without any bye weeks, everyone's rocking.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 9 1 o'clock games or whatever it is. So couch, set up shop, and it's go time. I love it. Because I was fighting it last night, man. I was exhausted.
Why is the game so late, though, man? Come on.
It was a rain delay. It started...
I get it, but why not, like, 7:30 kickoff? Like, come on. There's no need at 11:45 for it to be in the third quarter.
But, they're also... They're trying to cater to out west, right? 7:30 puts you at 4:30. A lot of people that are football fans.
It's prime time, man. They've obviously punched the numbers.
Yeah.
Because the NBA gets this...
I just can't stay awake for it anymore.
I know.
I fought through last night because I'm like, it's opening night. What are you doing? You've been waiting for it this long.
Yeah, you can.
So I was fighting it, though. By midnight, I was exhausted. The game ended. I went right up and shut
them. Well, and you'd worked hard building fences.
Well, that's true. And I think I'm paying the price today. Like yesterday, I was pretty energetic and ready to go and was excited about my yard work and my potential fencing career. But today, man, I am.
You're feeling it?
I'm feeling it. Yeah, I'm exhausted.
Well, it is Friday. It's a mail-in Friday. We didn't order food in or nothing. Like, I don't know what we're.
I'm all out of sorts, man. I'm solo with my daughter this weekend.
Why wasn't chicken fingers here or Jack Astor?
We don't have that thing anymore.
No, well, we could still order ourselves. I mean, we could do that, but
Uber Eats or whatever.
We're getting into the swing of things here, man. We're knocking the rust off.
I was starving. I was.
I think next week we do a hazy lasagna.
Really, right out of the gate, a lasagna.
I haven't made one in a long time.
It's a long time. It's summertime, getting into the fall, getting into that sporting kind of foodish type stuff.
Carving up for training camp.
I'll make one at some point.
Leafs training camp starting next week?
Yeah, next Friday they'll be on the ice. They're down in Niagara.
The boys are allowed to carb up.
Okay. Yeah, I'll look into that. I could fire up another batch.
Put it in the works.
Okay.
We should be doing our show from the Downer next week.
In Niagara Falls?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure that would go well.
What is it called?
Well.
The Sundowner?
Like you don't know what it's called. I love that. Sorry, what's that website again? It's your homepage. And look at your history. Oh, yeah. Brian Baldinger coming up, Believe It or Not, around 6:30. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.